The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi, this is my favorite Elliott Smith song. This podcast is all about trying to keep Elliott Smith's legacy alive in our own very small way. And we do that by speaking to well-known fans about their favorite song of his. So hello and welcome to episode 7 of the season. Today we have a bit of a two-parter for you. Later on we'll hear from musician Dylan Rodrigue about a recent tribute show he hosted in LA. But first we have an interview with Violet Mayuba, guitarist and founding member of the band Destroy Boys. Destroy Boys are a punk band that started out in Sacramento, California back in 2015. They've since gone on to release 3 studio albums, with another one literally just finished before this interview was recorded. And as well as her work with the band, Vi is a huge Elliott Smith fan. In this interview, she shares the very personal story that connects her to her song pick, the power of the many layers of an Elliott Smith song, and how she learns from him as a musician. So here's Violet Mayuba speaking to Elizabeth Woodstanley.
My name is Violet Mayuba, or Vi. I play guitar in a band called Destroy Boys. I chose Rum and Candle. It's so hard to choose one song because I actually have 2 different Elliott Smith playlists depending on how I'm feeling. He has such a wide variety of things that he does that are great. But I chose Rum and Candle today because I find the older I get, the more it resonates with me. And I did just have a birthday, so I felt like it's the one I could speak on the most.
He played himself, didn't need me to give him hell.
What drew you to Rum and Candle?
So it's a little heavy, but I thought, you know, since we're talking about Elliott and the nature of his songs can be that way, I thought I'd just be super honest. So I got introduced to Elliott Smith when I was like 15 from my dad, and then I really, really got into him when I was 18, and I was actually dating someone much, much older than me, like almost 30 years older than me, who was very not nice. He was a nasty guy. And as I was able to move on from that relationship, I carried a lot of that pain with me, you know, that pain and trauma. And a lot of that resonated in anger and resentment. You know, I was a young person. Of course, I try to be mature about the way I feel about things, but, you know, I didn't stop being in contact with this person until I was 21. So just the lyrics, you know, I want to hurt him. I want to give him pain. It's funny that talking about Elliott and that song specifically and talking about those lyrics, talking about that guy when he was the person who showed that to me is really weird and full circle. So, and then feeling that type of way towards him and being able to resonate with an Elliott song about him was really interesting for me. Very heavy. As someone who deals with a lot of mental stuff, it's so crazy just the line, my head is full of flames. It's hard to find a lyric in music in general that resonates with me more. It's so simple, but just the way he sings it, also, you know, you can hear that honesty. And I'm just like, yeah, me too, girl. It is interesting to think about him writing this perspective from him as a kid. You know, obviously we don't know, or I don't know if that's what it was about, but, you know, I was a kid in that situation too. So just being so young and like not knowing what to do, or not understanding why a whole ass adult, you know, is treating you with such violence and like rage and destruction and trying to project their destruction onto you, a kid. You know, I was a legal adult, but 18, that baby. So I wonder if that is where he was coming from, because it certainly feels like that sometimes. You know, knew we'd put up with anything, you know, yeah, I didn't have a choice. I was a kid. I was stuck with you, you know, especially if he's writing about, you know, a parental figure.
It's like a quiet, angry song, which is kind of interesting about it. Because obviously you can feel, you know, there's something rumbling in him as he's singing this song. But yeah. But it's also it's reserved in a way, but it's also collected, like calm and collected, which is interesting.
It's like, I feel like one of the scariest types of anger, you know, because people can be explosive, but funny enough, my ex, the guy I'm talking about, was very much like that, very, you know, rageful and just dramatic and loud. And but the times that I was scared of him the most were when he was very quiet. So I felt like my scariest, angriest moments were, you know, when I do get quiet and kind of pull in within myself and I'm just like, I want to hurt him. So him being able to portray that just through his vocal delivery is so cool. And also musically throughout this song, there are these little swells of instrumentation, like throughout the verses, like the, you know, I don't know how he does that. I'm really into music production. I wish I knew how he did it. But I feel like that also translates into the lyrical content as well, where it's like these little like intense swells of musicality that I feel like could translate to anger. Again, this is all just my interpretation of the song because I listen to it so much.
And do you feel like often when there's a song where you have like a direct association with it in a way, sometimes it can be difficult as time goes by listening to it more because it does bring you back to, you know, thoughts and feelings of that time. I mean, sometimes it doesn't. So I'm just curious as to... you know, if the song always brings you back to that place, or if, or maybe it's a relief, maybe it's calming to come back to that place. Mm-hmm. And when you listen to it,
it's a song that I go to specifically to find solace about that time. So it's never a song that I'll just like put on, like, you know, or let it come on shuffle. Cause it does remind me of that moment for sure. But when I'm already kind of wound up, like dealing with, you know, like flashbacks or something like that, like just very intense feelings about that, I'll go to Roman Candle to find solace about it. And it'll help me kind of purge my feelings a little bit, get all that rage out, all that sadness, grief. And I feel like even just in those few minutes that the song's going, it'll help me process so much more. And then I'll be like, okay, now I can handle this normal instead of grumpy.
I wanna hurt it, I wanna give him pain. I'm a Roman candle, my head is full of flames.
And you mentioned that your father had introduced you to Elliot's music when you were a teenager. Mm-hmm. And maybe started you out with the Roman Candle album? I'm not sure.
No, my ex was the one who showed me the Roman Candle album, but my dad gave me XO on vinyl. And he was like, my dad had a cool record collection. My parents are both musicians. They're super into music. They're also geniuses and I love them. But I was looking through my dad's records and he came upstairs and he was like, what's going on? And I was like, I don't know what I want to listen to. You know, I really only listen to like Green Day and Blink-182. That's like kind of just all I had on repeat. Then when I was like 15, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do now because I've listened to their discographies 100 times. My dad pulled out EXO and was like, just give this like a all the way listen through. Just one and done, top to bottom. And I was like, okay. And I was like, oh my God. It's insane. I never heard anything like it before. And I'm sure you probably hear that all the time when people talk about hearing Elliot for the first time.
Yeah. And at that time, were you playing guitar?
I was, yeah. The band actually didn't exist yet. We started the band later that year when I was 15. But it's funny, Destroy Boys, my band, people hear and they're like, oh, okay, punk, like rock, whatever. But there's a lot of Elliott Smith influence in my songwriting. Just the pure emotion, like the honesty, and also his weird little chords. Sometimes he does half steps and minors in weird places. And I really try to apply that to my band. When I heard Son of Sam for the first time, I was like, I have to write that song. I wish I had written that song. I have to write another one. I still haven't done it, but I want to try. When Destroy Boys first started, we were very just straight up like punk. We didn't even have a bass player. It was just single vocals, single guitar, and our drummer at the time. And I was really into the idea of being, you know, straight up punk because I didn't feel like I wanted to play any other type of music, i.e. Elliott-esque things. But his influence still slipped in there anyway. We actually started as an acoustic band. So instead of just power chords, it was a lot of minor chords. And I think you can hear some of the Elliott things still in there more. But, you know, we were an acoustic band, just a two-piece. Then we went to straight-up punk. And then as we got older and started evolving and maturing as people and as musicians, I think we started trying to apply ourselves more as, like, explorers of the genre instead of just sticking inside of one thing. We all, there's four of us now. We're all really influenced by different things. Like Alexia, my singer, listens to a lot of like Latin music and they also love hardcore. But I really love hardcore and I also love Elliott Smith and I love the singer called Jessica Lee Mayfield who did the Seth Abbott cover record. Jessica Lee Mayfield's version of Roman Candle, I know this is a sidebar, but her version of Roman Candle is like, it was like hearing the song for the first time over again. I love Jessica Lee Mayfield. If you are listening to this podcast, go look her up, please. You will love her. But we tried to explore more into like all our different genres and try not to limit ourselves to what people thought Destroy Boys was, which is, you know, just very just silly, funny punk music. And we ended up writing these more evolved, mature songs, and we weren't sure how it was going to go. But our fans ended up really liking it, and we just finished, actually, our fourth full-length record, like, yesterday. So a lot more, like, leads, you know, different instruments, like, a lot of percussion stuff, keyboard stuff, and, yeah, Elliott's still there. He's hanging out there.
And I know you mentioned in talking about Roman Candle that there was some sound, some work in there that you were just really curious by as far as how he did it. And we hear you comments like that a lot with a lot of his songs and his production in making the albums. So how is it for you in working on putting those albums together as a band or as a member of the band? Are you interested in some of those nuances and those subtleties that...
Oh, yeah. I think little secret sounds, little mystery layers and songs are some of the coolest parts, because when you love a song so much, obviously you'll go back and listen to it a million times. And, you know, like I said, Green Day before, I've been listening to them religiously since I was 12 or 13, and I still find new things about their music. And I'll just go in and be like, oh, there's a keyboard there. Oh, there's a string section that's buried in the mix. Elliot, I find new things with him all the time. Especially as from a guitar player perspective, like I'll go in and try to learn one of his songs and I'll be like, what are all these chords? Like, what does sus 4 mean? I don't know. So figuring out how he was able to build these beautiful, accessible songs too. Like, people can go in and listen to these songs, like Waltz number 2, for example. Just go in and listen and be like, oh, it's a beautiful song. There are so many layers of production and songwriting and musicality there that are so impressive and so intentional, it feels. And I admire that so much as a songwriter, like that intentionality, being able to being like, I want to put, you know, like a shimmer of something here or add a key part here. Like the way that he's able to build a feeling and almost like an environment is so cool. Like, oh God, there's one I didn't understand. That song is a cappella, but the vocal layers create something insane. Like, you could play that song in a stadium. I love Elliot Smith. I'm so excited I'm doing this right now. Another great example is, let me pull it up because I don't know the name of the song. Bye. The way that it's roomy, you feel like you're in there, or you feel like you're listening to it through a wall. That intent, like that musical choice to record it like that, like I'm assuming he did like a room mic, you know, as opposed to a mic directly above the piano, or the way he mixed it. I think Rob Schnapp produced that one. I'm not totally sure. He's really nice too. I like Rob. I met him and I freaked out. He like showed me one of Elliot's guitars and I was like, ah, I can't touch it. But just that choice as a musician that he made, where he was like, I think I'm going to move the mic a little bit, creates such a long lasting, cool environmental feeling that is so specific. Like, you know, I could project so many of my own feelings onto that song by, you know, it's just a piano to my knowledge, but the chords that he's playing it, the way he recorded it, so impressive, so cool. Just, I love listening to it as a fan, and I love listening to it as a musician, being like, I want to create an emotion like that. We have this song called Bob, which is like an interlude on, I don't know why it's called that, an interlude on our third record, which is called Open Mouth, Open Heart, and I showed by to our producer and I was like, I want to create like an almost uncomfortable feeling that this song gives you. Like, I want you to feel kind of unnerved when you listen to it, but also understand the emotion that's happening. And he was able to evoke that with like crazy production tricks. And I was very excited. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's really interesting. Yeah. Bye is a funny song because it's, you know, when you think about songs and radio play and things like that, like that's, it's not a song that, you know, is ever highlighted in that way. But it is a great end of an album. Like, it is, you know, he brings us through these progressions. And, you know, you picked the first song on an album, and now we're talking about a last song on an album. And, you know, I think Roman Candle kind of introduces and gives us, you know, prepares the listener for the whole album. And I think Bye sends us off on that album.
Yeah. Another great choice, you know, with sequencing. It feels almost reductive to just call him a genius, you know? But it's hard to not do that. Yeah. I wish I had more adjectives for him. I wanna hurt him. I wanna give him pain. I'm a Roman candle.
My head is full of flames. You know, another thing that's interesting about Elliot that, you know, I can at least parallel him with you, is he did start making music at a young age. And he created some of these songs that, you know, end up on albums way in the future, that the beginnings of them he started as a teenager. But I was wondering, you know, from your standpoint, have you had that experience where, you know, at 15 you were starting to maybe musically put a song together, but maybe that hasn't evolved into, you know, maybe this most recent album where there's something that, you know, looks back at that?
That's a really good question. A lot of the songs, or I don't want to say a lot of, a few of the songs on this record that we just did were ideas that I wrote during the pandemic, you know? So almost 4 years later, I go back to lyrics from when I was a teenager. You know, I don't go back super far back then because, you know, there just hits a point in my past where my just songwriting wasn't very good. But sorry, one of our biggest songs is a song that we wrote when we were 15 and 16. It's called "I Threw Glass at My Friend's Eyes and Now I'm on Probation." It's like a very simple, just punk pop song. And it was great to release at the time, but I don't write songs like that anymore. So yeah, I kind of dig into like my early 20s and stuff going back. And I think that I'll probably have songs that I've written now that I'll dig into when I'm 30. And I can't wait to get there. That'll be fun. Also, the song that I was trying to think of when I was talking about building an environment or like an ambiance, "Everything Means Nothing to Me," the way the drums are recorded. Very wide open. Again, that thing where it sounds like it's a room mic as opposed to a direct mic. Crazy. So crazy.
And "Everything Means Nothing to Me" is an interesting song to bring up also in thinking about "Roman Candle," because it has a similar feel as a listener, in terms of you can feel there's some anger there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe in "Everything Means Nothing to Me," he's either redirecting it or he's trying to cover it up. And "Roman Candle," I mean, he's still kind of covering it up a bit. He's so that was an interesting...
Maybe that's like what I'm drawn to in his songs. I love that song. It's so impressive. Like also the piano line, I wouldn't say it's simple, but it's straightforward. And he does this thing that I love. Like when I was talking about Bi too, it's kind of uncomfortable to listen to. It's like there's something a little creepy about it. And I think that is so cool. I love listening to music that puts me like a little bit on edge, because that's, you know, how I feel. Like when I go to Elliot for solace with my brain stuff, it's like, yeah, I'm uncomfortable up there. It's like I want to hear somebody else talk about their experience with that. He was in the throes of it for sure. So I'm just grateful that I get to listen to someone else who's experienced something like that.
So when you were talking about when you were younger, you were writing certain types of songs. And now that you're getting older, those are shifting a bit, which I often feel like when I listen to "Roman Candle" there, because I feel like there's a different way of songwriting and lyrics in that album. It still continues, as he...
His sound, I feel like... You know, this might be a little bold to say, but I think it, and I might be totally projecting, but I feel like his sound is less mature. But that's cool in a way, because it's just true, raw songwriting, what he wanted to evoke, you know, with that acoustic type music, as opposed to records like Figure Eight or XO, where, you know, it's like these heavy produced songs, which I love. I love heavy production, but... As from my perspective, I find that success has a huge impact on the things I choose to do as a musician, as a songwriter. And I always have that thing in the back of my head. I don't know if he experienced this, so maybe it's just me, but I have that thing in the back of my head where it's like, are people going to like this? And for my first record, obviously I was like, I want everyone to like this, but that thing wasn't there. It was just like, these are my songs. You can take them or not. Thank God people took them for my band. And that obviously worked for him too, but it could be interesting to think about, you know, was he thinking about that? Was it just truly like his song that just spilled out of him? Did he go back and try to adjust it later? Did it, you know, because when I was writing songs really early on, I would write a song and that would be it. I would never go back to it and try to, you know, piece certain things together, be like, maybe I should edit the B part. You know, I didn't know what a B part was when I was 16. So I wonder if it just like spilled out of him one day, one and done.
Well, I think that that reflection or that, you know, sort of thought of, okay, how is this going to be perceived? How are people going to, you know, connect with what I'm creating as an artist and putting out in the world? I mean, I think every artist, you know, they can't remove themselves from that because you want people to be able to relate to you and understand you and, you know, be like, yeah, that, you know, just like you told this story about Roman Candle, that it's helped you through this bad relationship. I'm sure you hope the same with some of your songs, that people are connecting to them in ways and that they're, you know, providing some type of, you know, relief from life or connection.
I get so excited when people tell me that because, you know, it's the same reason why I wrote those songs, is to get that bad gunk out of me. You know, I felt like I had to. I wonder, you know, if Elliot experienced the same thing, because a lot of the times when I've written songs or written songs with Alexia, my singer, that have become some of our most successful songs, it's because I physically needed to remove that feeling or just take a piece out of it. I needed relief. I, you know, it was too painful. And I went in and I had to spill some of that pain into these lyrics or this music or that guitar part, or, you know, even like a stupid drum sample would help me. And I'm sure that he felt the same way at some point. So when people tell me, they're like, oh God, like, you know, I listen to that song and I relate to it so much. It's like, God, I feel bad for you, but I'm also glad that you feel a little better.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and I know this is, you know, I don't know, maybe a skewed way to think about things, but I feel like when people are at a really resolved point in life, like everything is fantastic and nothing is wrong, it's a little bit more challenging to produce something artistically.
You are so right.
And, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, it seems like Elliot struggled quite a bit, but he was able to siphon those thoughts and feelings into the music in the same way that you're just talking about, which, you know, I think makes them so powerful, and it makes it so relatable for people that they can, you know, hear, you know, what he's saying in there.
That is such a sad dichotomy. You're so right. That's a reason why, you know, a lot of people that I know, people that I've looked up to, just people in my community, won't get on medication for their mental illness because they're afraid that it will affect their songwriting or their production of music. And, you know, as someone who is on medication, yeah, it I'm happy. And that makes it harder for me to write gnarly songs. Obviously, of course, I still experience problems, but it's not that like deep, grating, raw pain and anxiety and fear and suffering, you know, that creates songs like Roman Candle or songs like, you know, Bob or my song called Drink, you know. And of course, I miss being able to create songs like that, but I don't miss that feeling.
But there might be, you know, other things in life, you know, that, you know, come from a balanced person in terms of just chemical balance, yeah, that still, you know, you can evoke thoughts and feelings.
It's so intense to watch other people go through that. It was something I was scared of when I started, you know, my journey with medication. Also, medication isn't for everybody, but it was definitely right for me. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm going crazy big pharma on the podcast, But it was definitely the right choice for me. And one of the things I was scared of is I was like, if I remove the suffering piece from my life, am I going to be able to execute at a high level, you know, musically? And I still am. So I'm stoked. So if you're thinking about treating your mental illness, you should do it. Watching other people around me choose to not do that and continue to suffer is really sad and difficult to watch. And I wonder what his career would have been like if he went down a different path. You know, would he have quit music altogether? Would he have made records that we all hated, you know, but he was happy and still here? It's crazy to think about. It's crazy to think about. I would have preferred that he kept making bad records and was still alive, personally.
Yeah, no, I was just bringing it back to Roman Candle. So bringing it back to any thoughts you had about the song that maybe we didn't cover before.
Like him talking about hallucinating is so crazy. Just the way he sings it, hallucinating, it's so gnarly. That's something that's cool about Elliot too, is like he can take two words, one word, and the way he sings it says so much more than what he's actually saying. Also just me, like, this is why I wanted to see the lyrics. I wanted to make sure that I remembered them correctly. I mean, the first two lines, he played himself, didn't need me to give him hell. I always thought that he was saying didn't need me to give him help. Saying he played himself, like thinking about my ex, like he was someone who like had a really good life and like just destroyed it through like violence and anger and resentment, and just being like, he played himself, didn't need me to mess it up for him, even though he accused me of doing that all the time, which is a crazy thing for a 46-year-old to say to an 18-year-old, but that's just me, I guess. So just thinking about my experience with him and with this song, like watching people just completely blow up their own life, you know, and just, you know, trying to help them or not, just watching it from the outside, such an intense thing. And I love that he talked about that. Knew that we'd put up with anything. I would hella put up with anything with that guy. I was like, it was weird, you know, being so young and like really trying to help someone who's so old. Who was very mean to me every day. You know, I don't want to get too into it, but just like, yeah, I would put up with anything. And I think that's why he treated me with such, you know, vitriol. It's because he knew I would stick around until I didn't. I love Elliot Smith. Bless his sweet soul.
Thank you very much to Vi for being a guest on the podcast, and especially for being so open and honest. Now, on my favorite Elliot Smith song, we love hearing about Elliot-related events taking place all around the world. And on the 25th of January, a very special one was held in LA. It was hosted by musicians Dylan Rodrigue and Marcus Buser, and it had a great lineup of guests, including a few former interviewees on this podcast: Johanna Samuels, Shannon Lay, and Aaron Embry. And recently, I caught up with Dylan, one of the organizers, to find out how it went.
Couldn't complain. Just looked at you lingering and crossed over the plane. I really think it went well. And, you know, we, for certain artists, you kind of want to mess with the arrangements and it's, you know, like I kind of do a Grateful Dead thing. And like we, you know, with a Grateful Dead cover band, you kind of, you make it different each time, you know, and you jam and improvise, you know. With Elliot Smith, it's so specific, you know, and so we just basically took a lot of time, like pretty much trying to replicate these arrangements, which are immaculate, you know, and yeah, you know, you just don't want to mess with these songs. You know? I played Plainclothes Man, which is another just a song that I love, you know, of his. And yeah, it was really, really fun and yeah, intimidating. It just feels like a hard, it's not an easy thing to do right. It's very easy to fail at playing tribute to that music.
Can you pick out a few highlights from the evening?
Oh man, yeah, everyone did such a good job.
Perhaps we could talk about people we've had on the podcast. I know there were.
Oh yeah, Johanna. Yeah. I mean, yeah, actually, yeah. She had kind of connected us too, and she was so great. She she did the song that she talked about on this podcast. Antonio Carlos Jobim, you know. Or Yo Beam.
Yeah.
I love that song. That was really fun. Shannon Lay also.
Aaron Embry too played, right?
Yeah, that was really intense and so cool that he did that. But yeah, it added a certain weight, you know, because he toured with Elliot Smith, you know. On the Figure Eight tour and was just a good friend. And I felt a certain like obligation to make this good, you know, for him. And I think he had a really good time, but man, he played Miss Misery and it was beautiful, you know?
And obviously on my favorite Elliot Smith song, we can't not speak to you and ask you what your favorite Elliot Smith song is.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I was like, well, I could make a playlist of the 12 quote unquote worst songs of Elliot Smith.
Yeah.
And it would be better than any Spotify playlist, you know, like, he had no bad songs, you know. But yeah, I kind of wanted to talk about I Can't Answer You Anymore. Something came from nothing today while I was saying no. I'm just blown away, did not even get on Figure Eight. I mean, that, to me, that's like one of the best songs he ever wrote. It's lyrically really, really good, but then also music. I think it's probably, to me, like the quintessential like Elliot Smith pop song, where it is very catchy, but also harmonically so dense. And that was one of the things I was doing last night when I should have been sleeping. I've had a debate with my friend about what these chords are. The first three chords of this song are very dense. And I think among Elliot Smith fans, maybe this is a discussion for some people. I don't know. But I I have figured it out. If you want me to tell you, you know.
Yeah. Please share.
Because he has, so it's harpsichord and electric guitar. There's electric sitar in there too. But they're all kind of playing different inversions of this. Mm-hmm. And it's very like close voicing, but we have a G sharp diminished. And then what, this is the weird one, is this, it's a D major 7 over A. And he's singing the C sharp, and then a B diminished. So it's, and then it goes to E. So yeah. I was just thinking in general, like, no, it's very rare for a pop song to start with a diminished chord. That's one, it's like one of the most like dissonant, you know, like a, they call, you know, like a transition chord. You don't start a song that way. You know? Seems like both of these, the first and second verse have these kind of cliche sayings that he's mentioning that both kind of seem like positive sentiments until he finishes them, and it's really sad. Because he says, you know, it starts, something came from nothing today, which I think by itself maybe is like, oh, this could be a good thing, you know. While I was saying no, you know, and don't you knock on my door, I can't answer you anymore. I also love that. Like, I think that's all meant to be one statement, but like, well, yeah, something came from nothing today while I was saying no. it was a bad thing that came out of nothing. But I also was thinking about, like, I maybe doubt that he was even thinking about this when he wrote it, but like, this song in general is just, it's this beautiful, crazy thing that came out of nothing, you know? So like, it feels almost self-referential. Yeah. That he actually made this beautiful thing that day, you know, something came out of nothing.
Thank you to Dylan Rodrigue for hosting the event and for talking to us on My Favourite Elliott Smith Song. That's pretty much it for this week's episode. We'll be back with a new one in a couple of weeks' time. In the meantime, please do follow us on social media. We're at My Fave E. Smith Song. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you soon. My Favourite Elliott Smith Song is produced by Rob Comber and Elizabeth Withstanley. You can find out more about the show at myfavouriteelliottsmithsong.com.